ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So we are discussing the 20th chapter of this book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, which talks about the qualification to hear. So as we saw, this book was written to respond to, not as a response to the critics, but even at some point, His Holiness Shivaram Swami Maharaj himself felt the need to clarify the purpose of writing the Krishna and Vrindavan series. So he wrote Naparayeham Krishna Sangati and Venu Gita and other such books, Navabraja Mahima. So some part of ISKCON for all good reasons were raising eyebrows. How could you write such books? You know, is ISKCON ready for it and all? So Maharaj wrote it with a genuine concern that when people naturally grow up in Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they would naturally reach a position, stage where they might need nourishment of this kind to progress further on the path. So, but having said that, there could be premature consumers also of these literatures, which for whom this literature may not be appropriate at this stage. So, Maharaj stopped the fourth book in the Krishna in Vrindavan series and started writing this book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, to establish clearly the qualification to hear, who is fit to hear what. Are certain subject matters a strict no-no for everyone, irrespective of their spiritual development, or are there subject matters which anyone and everyone can read and hear? So what is it? So he wanted to establish that who is qualified for what. So in doing that, in the first 19 chapters, he discussed what is this mixed devotional service, what is this pure devotional service, and within pure devotional service, he sort of gave a quick summary of the first 19 chapters of NOD. And in the first, in writing about mixed devotional service, he touched upon some subject matters from Bhakti Sandarbha, where mixed devotional service was discussed. And then, eventually, he discussed the gradual progression from Shraddha to Prema, adapting that whole material from Madhurya Kadambini. So now he has, because if you have to say that, this subject matter is only for someone at the stage of Nishtha or Ruchi, then the person has to know which position, where he is right now. So, in order to give clarity on this subject matter, so he actually establishes stage by stage what these stages are, how one can identify as a self-evaluation tool for understanding where that person is, how he can elevate himself to the next stage, like that. So, in that sense, the first 19 chapters, he has laid a solid foundation on which the actual superstructure of these next 10-12 chapters can stand. So starting from 20th chapter is the actual subject matter of the book. The first 19 chapters were just laying the foundation. So he has laid the foundation. Now people have a fairly reasonable method by which they can evaluate their own progress and map themselves on the, you know, chart of bhakti. So then now you need to do match the following: Shraddha, what you can read, Vajana Kriya, what you can read. Nishta, what you can read. Like that. So that's what he is going to do now. So in this 20th chapter, he is actually establishing the qualification to hear. So he had mentioned that devotees who desire to seriously embrace the systematic worship of the holy name must accept five prerequisite understandings. Look, basic, you can say this is Abhideya Jnana, basic understanding of Abhideya. What is that? He says, first is the basis of devotional service in practice, that is sadhana bhakti, is chanting the holy names. Second, the devotees may take up progressively more advanced practices only as they become qualified, not prematurely. Third, chanting means japa, sankirtan, and preaching about the holy name, all three. Fourth, one should engage in the practices of devotion as much as possible in the company of like-minded devotees. And fifth, cultivation relating to one's spiritual form, that is swarupa, is possible only at the stage of bhava and not before that. So these are the five prerequisite understandings that Maharaj mentions, that any sadhaka should have these five prerequisite understandings. Any sincere sadhaka who is aspiring to cultivate, seriously embrace the systematic worship of the holy name, should be clear with these five essential principles of Abhideya. Then he elaborates on these points. So Prabhupada says that this Krishna conscious philosophy is little difficult to understand only. It's not that easy. One who thinks it's very easy is actually not understood the philosophy. One who thinks everything, chanting and everything is taken care of. It's not like that. So basically he says that the conclusion is that even if the path to perfection seems difficult, devotees must know the path, traverse it and reach its goal. The main thrust of the Krishna consciousness movement is to show that any person, regardless of his or her background, whether pious or sinful, can become a pure lover of Krishna. Like that. Then he says this section discusses the prerequisite for performing Naam Bhajan. The understanding that steadiness in Krishna consciousness is the qualification for adopting more advanced spiritual practices. The second part, second of those. First, study the previous stage, then go for the next stage. In this, he quotes Sve Sve Adhikare Ya Nishta Sagunat Parikirtita Viparyayast Doshasya Ubayo Resha Nischaya. So, we were discussing yesterday that Krishna works on one cardinal principle which he never breaks, whether in his reciprocation with devotees and non-devotees alike, which is Ye Yatamam Prapadyante Tamstateva Bhajami. And all kinds of practitioners, be they mixed or pure practitioners, they are expected to follow this one cardinal principle in order to progress further, which is Sve Sve Adhikare Yanishta Saguna Parikirtita Viparyayastu Doshasya Ubayor Esha Nischaya. Act, understand your qualification and execute the duties as per that qualification. That is what is expected of all practitioners, whether they are Sakama Karma Yogis, Nishkama Karma Yogis, Jnana Yogis, Ashtanga Yogis, Bhakti Yogis, or even within Bhakti Yoga, whether someone is in Anishtita Vajana Kriya or Nishta, Ruchi or Asakti, like that. Accordingly, whatever is expected of them, they should do. Okay. So, one aspect of irreligion is to adopt spiritual practices more advanced than those for which one is qualified. This results in fall down from one's presumed status. One may think that one has reached that status, but one will fall down from there. Another aspect of irreligion is to neglect the duties of a higher stage at which one is steadily situated. He is already steadily situated there, but he is thinking, oh, I am not qualified for that. So in this regard, we were discussing yesterday that sometimes people mention that first one should become dharmic, first one should follow dharma, then one can follow parodharma. Then following that would be prema. Dharma, parodharma and prema. So first situate people on the platform of dharma, only then they can practice parodharma. So this is something which is, it sounds actually very logical, because if you want to practice parodharma, then at least one must be on the level of dharma. But actually, interestingly, this is not supported by shastric conclusions, because shastras, in fact they say to practice any of these sub dharmas like nishkama karma or jnana or ashtanga, there are some very stringent prerequisites. But for practicing bhakti, there are no such stringent prerequisites. Anyone can start. Shraddha is the only prerequisite. But for all the other practices, there are many prerequisites in terms of purity and certain kinds of conditionings are totally non-acceptable. Whereas for starting bhakti, there are no such prerequisites. One cannot say that I am so contaminated that I am not qualified to practice pure devotion service. So rather, if one is so contaminated, the only process that you can actually follow is actually pure devotion service. And another misconception is that we discussed yesterday is that people say that Prabhu, actually pure devotional service is very difficult to follow. I think even by mixed devotional service we can go to Vaikuntha. So better would be to follow mixed devotional service. So this kind of a misconception is based on the premise or presumption that actually practice of mixed devotional service is easier than practice of pure devotional service. So actually mixed devotional service means it involves the limbs of bhakti. Apart from that, it involves many of the limbs of karma or jnana, whatever it is mishrit with. So actually practice of mixed devotional activities is actually more difficult than practicing pure devotional activities, pure devotional sadhana.
So that is why this verse doesn't apply. So you see, practicing dharma then parodharma. It's not like the step wise.
Yeah, because there is no, see, that would be the case if dharma was a prerequisite for bhakti. First, if you consider literally take that yoga ladder as sakama, then nishkama, then jnana, then ashtanga, then bhakti. It's not exactly a yoga ladder as such. It's more like a yoga hierarchy rather than a yoga ladder. Just hold on.
Hare Krishna. Okay.
As you mentioned, even the not following any dharma, that's the most difficult.
Not following?
You said following karma mishra is not, is some say that it's easier than following
pure devotion.
Actually, it's more difficult.
Correct.
More difficult is not doing anything. It's the most difficult thing. To live in this mortal world and not doing anything.
Yeah. Onal karyate hi avashak karma sarva prakriti jair gunehi. The only thing is you will end up doing some
nasty things forcefully.
While a provision is given for it, within the realm of dharma only, well, you know, it can be accommodated and still you can elevate yourself.
To make it more less troublesome.
Less troublesome. Yeah.
Guru is
within
pure devotional service for different stages.
No, it is within pure devotional service, within mixed devotional practices also. Whatever is the adhikar, accordingly the prescribed duties should be practiced.
For pure devotional service, nurmatrasya adhikar.
Nurmatrasya adhikar.
Sarvebhi atra adhikar.
That means everybody has that
adhikar. Yeah. Every, matlab, as long as he has the shraddha.
Every soul has adhikar.
Every soul has an adhikar. So, this is something which for probably the all noble reasons, probably this this kind of mindset has set in, that you are talking about bhakti, you are not even following basic dharmic principles. Maybe this for all noble reasons this kind of mindset has probably set in,
and even to discard the insincere practices
Imposters,
thinking
yeah,
themselves.
Correct. But having said that, it has the potential to demotivate sincere practitioners also, who may be genuinely struggling.
Yeah.
They may end up feeling that, okay, actually pure devotional service is not for me. So that danger is always there. So then he says that, so therefore the following is a practical example of how devotee rise from one stage of Krishna consciousness to the next. Now that he has gone from Sakama to Nishkama to Jnana to Ashtanga, and of course we were discussing, this is not exactly a yoga ladder, as in one rung naturally leads to the next rung. It is more of a hierarchy rather than a ladder, because you don't see that all Jnana Yogis do not automatically become Ashtanga Yogis, and not all Ashtanga Yogis automatically become Bhakti Yogis. And it's not that until you have climbed from Sakama to Nishkama to Jnana to Ashtanga, you can never enter Bhakti. It's not like that. One thing is, probably Sakama to Nishkama is natural. Nishkama to Jnana is it's not mandatory. Rather, Krishna does not recommend it. Karma sannyas is not recommended by Krishna. Tayostu karma sannyasat karma yogo visheshyate, Krishna says. So, it is not a mandatory limb also. You can skip it, you can as well stay in the platform of Nishkama karma yoga and still attain liberation. And Ashtanga yoga is also not a prerequisite.
Till Jnana yoga, it could be like a ladder.
Yeah.
And from Jnana to
Ashtanga
is a choice. And Ashtanga to Bhakti is definitely interference of
devotee. And that choice is available from Sakama,
anyone,
or even before Sakama also. Anyone, Kirata, Gunandra, Pulinda, Bulkasha, that is available. So then he says that when the devotees enter the path of pure devotion, their first duty is to become steady in chanting. ओयि ओ उत्साहमयी घन तरल व्यूढ़ विकल्प विषय संगर नियमाक्षमान तरंगरंग लाइक दैट दीज आर लाइक ग्रेजुअली यू नो वन इज मूविंग अहेड इन अचीविंग मोर एंड मोर स्टडीनेस इन देयर अनस्टडी प्रैक्टिस फॉलोइंग रेगुलेटिव प्रिंसिपल्स एंड रेंडरिंग मीनियल सर्विस परहैप्स बाय वॉशिंग किचन पार्ट्स और क्लीनिंग द बाथरूम्स इनिशियल स्टेजेस. In time, pure devotion purifies their heart, gives them firm faith in the holy name, and steadies them in their service, sadhana, and vows. So, he is gradually entering nishtha. He is getting ready for higher responsibilities. If devotees remain steady for at least a year, they may then rise to the next stage of devotion and accept Harinam initiation. He is telling gradual development after one attains Shraddha. In pure devotion service. Yeah. Having received the blessings of the holy name, initiated devotees may be given greater responsibilities. Perhaps they will be asked to guide younger devotees, give Srimad Bhagavatam class, or head up the Sangirtan party, like that. They will also be expected to increase their spiritual practices by cultivating the quality of goodness, while being cautious to avoid offenses both in service and especially while chanting Hare Krishna. So gradually when they cultivate this, when they avoid offenses, then gradually they become qualified to come to the stage of Nishtha. The results of this increased devotion should be visible in their increased knowledge and faith in Vaishnava culture. If these sattvic symptoms remain steady for another year, first initiated devotees may rise to the next stage of Krishna consciousness and receive Mantra Diksha. As Brahmanas, devotees are recognized as exemplars and teachers in ISKCON. They also chant the Gayatri Mantra, worship the deity and may perform fire sacrifices. By rigorous study and application of scripture, they continue to advance through the stages of pure devotion, one step after another, until they reach the ultimate goal of life. So which means there is a rigorous study and application, or rigorous application of the process to move from one stage to the next stage. Devotees often misinterpret Srila Prabhupada's statements about how advancement comes automatically. He elaborately discusses this, but the essence is the statements about automatic advancement should always be seen in the context of his complete teachings. He never presents the idea as an alternative to devotees knowing and systematically applying the science of bhakti. It's not that, look, you have two options. Either you systematically study and apply the teachings of bhakti, or you can choose the second option of automatic advancement in bhakti. So what he says is, no, there is no two options. There is only one option. First, you know and systematically apply the science of bhakti, as a result of which your advancement will be automatic. Rather, he says that the automatic advancement is a part of the overall process. Where otherwise there would have been no need for Srila Prabhupada to write so many books or give so many instructions if everything was automatic. He could have simply told the devotees to chant Hare Krishna and left it at that. But Srila Prabhupada emphasized the need to acquire knowledge about devotional service, and he encouraged his followers to make a sincere effort to put such knowledge into practice. When devotees did so, then they would automatically advance.
Just one thing here. Actually, in Harinam Chintamani, same thing Bhaktivinoda Tagore writes. He says that even chanting Hare Krishna, advanced stages of chanting Hare Krishna requires one to have sambandha.
Yeah, he says the main reason for offensive chanting is lack of sambandha gyan. Yeah. When devotees did so, they would automatically advance. This understanding is Then he says, in summary, devotees must know the duties appropriate to the various stages of Krishna consciousness and apply this knowledge in their spiritual life with balance. As already mentioned, they should perfect the devotional practices that fit the stage of advancement they have attained and then move forward to the practices of the next stage. Like that. When they do so, their ability to adopt more elevated sadhana is guaranteed. Like, if you are going to a gym and lifting weights, you have been doing 2-4 kilograms, then directly you go to 10 kilograms, not very sustainable, you might end up tearing your muscles or something like that. So from 4 you go to 5, steady it for a while, go to 6, steady it for a while. Go to 7, study it for a while, like that. When they do so, their ability to adopt more elevated sadhana is guaranteed. Equipped with such knowledge and determination, devotees automatically advance through successive stages of devotion to ultimate perfection. In short, automatic advancement is a natural part of, rather than an alternative to, educated efforts to attain perfection. Which means, automatic advancement is a natural part of educated efforts to attain perfection. It is not an alternative to educated efforts to attain perfection. Like that. Then, Krishna describes the transition from transition to bhakti. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata shravanadavva shraddha yavanna jayate. So one can continue to perform one's varanashram duties till one develops that faith in Krishna conscious literatures, devotees, Mahaprasade, Govinde, Nama Brahmani, Vaishnavi, all of them. Once one develops that Shraddha, Vishwas, then he is not expected to function on the paradigm of Varanashram. Not that he is expected to give up his Varanashram duties, but he can execute them as a means to please Krishna.
Or as a cushioning.
But the paradigm should be Anukulyasa Sankalpo Pratikulyasa Varjanam. The paradigm is not, is it dharmic or adharmic? That is the point. So, a devotee is not characterized by neglect of Varnashram duties. But a devotee is characterized by the paradigm in which he functions.
Attentive to what is Anukulyasa.
That
is positive is.
Yeah. So what is the
defining characteristic?
What is the parameter based on which he makes choices of what to do and what not to do? Maybe before coming to bhakti, he would say, "Oh, this is not dharmic. I can't do this. This is inappropriate. This is anuchit according to my varna and ashrama. I cannot do this." After coming to bhakti, he may still reject to do that activity, but the principle is, it's not favorable for bhakti. It's not favorable for pleasing Krishna. That's why I won't do it. So, we were discussing yesterday through a Venn diagram. Oh, board hai kya idhar?
Let me see.
We were discussing yesterday that sometimes this was in the context of Krishna instructing Arjuna, Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Aham Tvam Sarva Papebhyo Mokshayishyami. But despite hearing this instruction by Krishna, Arjuna actually engaged. At least from an external point of view, it seems Kshatriya. Like he did fight. He didn't give up his Kshatriya Dharma. But the point is, he didn't fight because he was a Kshatriya, but he fought because
Krishna desired it.
So therefore, one should not say that Arjuna didn't implement the Sarvadharman Parityajya principle because he didn't fight. So, we were discussing that in this context, that this is the Varanashram circle and that is a bhakti circle, and there could be an intersection. What do you call it?
Intersection.
So an intersection of Varanashram and bhakti, because that region where some of the elements of Varanashram may be anukul for bhakti also. So this person may see, look, he is a brahmana and he is doing this activity, so he is within the varnashram circle. That's what he is seeing. But you ask that person, he says, "Why are you?" And he says, "Oh yeah, I am in the bhakti circle. I did it because anukul is a sankalpo." And he says, "Oh, you see, dharmic." So he is looking, they are looking at this patch.
Yeah.
But it is overlapping, that section. So he is doing, but if you trace out the center of these activities, is it here or is it here? Of course, the same area has been covered in both circles. But then, what is the purpose? Where is the center? Is the center Anukulyasya Sankalpo Pratikulyasya Varjanam, or is the center Dharma and Adharma? So, தாவத் கர்மாணி குர்வீத ந நிர்வித்யேத யாவத மத்கதா ஸ்ரவணாதௌ வா ஸ்ரத்தா யாவன்ன ஜாயதி. So when Shraddha manifests, then the prime symptom of a person who has received that Shraddha is not his neglect of varnashram duties. That is not an appropriate way to say, because you cannot tell, because what if he is acting on that overlapping zone? Here it may seem like the overlapping zone is small, but it could be quite, it could be a, there could be a quite large overlap also.
Yeah.
So, therefore, but the symptom, the reliable symptom, like you have reliable symptom of bhava, shantir, avyartha, kalatvam, mana shunyata, these are the reliable symptoms of bhava, whereas the non-reliable symptoms are the sattvika bhavas. So, tears flowing from the eyes, romancha, gadgada, pulaka, shrukampa, and so on. But similarly, for Shraddha also, the reliable symptoms are actually the paradigm in which he is functioning. What governs his choice of activities, and what governs his choice to not perform certain activities. So that we need to understand to actually identify whether that person is within the realm of pure devotional service or not. Pure devotional qualification, in order to identify, we need to take these things into consideration. So therefore, one should not say, look, Arjuna fought, so therefore he didn't give up his Kshatriya Dharma. Not necessarily.
Most of the time, with these moral principles and dharmic principles, they need not be broken.
They need not be broken. That's what. That's
only,
why.
Only in a very few instances.
Correct. Correct. So therefore.
But even the consideration is not whether it is breaking or not, but whether it is reliable.
No, but in general, as I'm thinking, the jaruti nahi ki they are two separate things.
Correct. That's what.
They are mixed only.
And there could be a third interesting case where the person does not want to break, but is unable to uphold. And this case could be for in the dharmic realm also, and in the bhakti realm also, where the person's conditioning is troubling that person. And he wants to follow apichetsu duracharo vajate mam ananya bhav. So that case where the person wants to follow, but is unable to follow. So, unless we know that person, his heart, he reveals his heart to us, we would never know. So, therefore, in that sense, even to use the activities as a barometer to evaluate whether the person follows in Varnashram or Bhakti itself is very highly questionable. So, question of consciousness, which the person may not be comfortable to reveal to us also. So therefore, these subject matters are highly accurate to the level we use it to evaluate ourselves. So in one of the chapters of Jayodharma, there is a conversation that is going on, and this Vaishnava, young Vaishnava from one of the villages around Nadia. So he asks, I think Paramahamsa Premdas Babaji Maharaj, that can you tell me whether I am a Kanishtha Adhikari or a Madhyam Adhikari or a Uttam Adhikari. So,
Uttam Adhikari can judge that.
No, no.
For Uttam Adhikari, only Uttam Adhikari can
judge. No, in this conversation he says, okay, it is possible provided you bolibodu kher katha, you tell your katha and be honest in presenting your what you are going through, what you have gone through, and then we can do an objective evaluation. So there were three members in that panel. One was Paramahamsa Premdas Babaji Maharaj, another was some Haridas Babaji Maharaj, like that, three of them were there. And he started sharing all that how his bhakti started, how he came to Krishna consciousness, slowly how he fell into the association of unscrupulous people. He took Babaji initiation from them, but he could not maintain his vows. Then he started breaking them. Then an elevated Vaishnava from Vrindavan came, and then he took him back. He took him under his wings, trained him, and now what does he feel? What is he going through? And everything he openly spoke out. And then based on that honest presentation, then they presented their analysis. You are a Madhyam Adhikari right now.
So the subcategorization is for the Uttam. Like that in Madhyam there is Uttam Madhyam, Madhyam Madhyam and Kanishtha Madhyam. Uttam also there is Kanishtha Uttam, Madhyam Uttam and Uttam.
Uttam Uttam.
So those subcategories in Uttam, that Madhyam Adhikari cannot judge.
Correct.
Only Uttam Adhikari can judge.
The three panel members were Uttam Adhikaris. So they said, you honestly present. And we can tell. And all of them said, one said, in my understanding, at this stage, this is what happened. And then this is why you fell down. And good that you got the association of this Vaishnava from Vrindavan. And after that, this is what happened in your life. And right now, you have come. Your presentation is a proper, honest presentation. This is where you have reached. And other persons would say, yes, I second that opinion.
I
second that opinion.
I agree.
Like that. The whole panel agrees. Like that. With that evaluation. So, so, when devotees first enter the realm of pure faith, unwanted habits obstruct their devotional service. To become fit for the next stage of Krishna consciousness, nishtha, they must first rid themselves of at least 75% of their accumulated unwanted habits. I don't remember reading it in Madhuri Kadambini. He does not give a number to it. He says unwanted habits is due to sukrutotta and dushkrutotta nartas. He says sukrutotta and dushkrutotta nartas are purna, destroyed at the stage of nishtha, and atyantiki at the stage of ruchi. He says ruchika star pe pura atyantiki destroy ho jata hai, and at nishtha they are no longer troubled. That prayeshu little bit that is left is actually aparadotta anarthas that is left.
Bhaktiyutta is gone.
Bhaktiyutta is also purna at the stage of nishtha, and atyantiki at the stage of ruchi. So what is left is actually only aparadotta anarthas, which are still bahudesha vartini at the stage of nishtha also, he says.
It takes time
to go away. So purified and liberated from the bodily concept of life, the devotee's faith becomes fixed and they qualify for more advanced spiritual practices. Then they may begin to hear Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis. Like that, gradually he says nishtha ke baad. And he quotes this Vikriditam Rajavadu Biridam Savishnu. So this indicates, even though it says Kridrogam Ashu Apahinoti Achirena Dhira, he says that even though while listening to these pastimes, one may say that, look, he says, By hearing these past tense, lust will go away. Even though I am feeling lusty, I can hear. But if you actually read what the Acharyas explain through this verse, he says that the wise disapprove of devotees hearing Krishna's most confidential pastimes without mature faith and jumping over the natural process of advancing from one stage of devotion to the next. And he says the faith spoken of in this verse is not that of a beginner in Krishna consciousness, as a certain class of pseudo Vaishnavas would have us believe. They will quote this verse and he says, Rudroga Mashopahinoti Achirenadira, what process you have got? You will refrain from hearing from this. We will hear and our lust will be purified. Right? Not like that.
If you play music, some analogy here. In a peaceful heart, it will create transcendental emotions or something like that. If you play that same music in crematorium, only ghosts will dance.
Yeah, Shraddhanvito, but that Shraddha is not actually not the Adav Shraddha.
Even Nishtha is also called Shraddha only. Fixed Shraddha.
Even Nishtha is called Shraddha, and Shraddha is also called Ruchi. Swalpapi Ruchi Revasyat Bhakti Tattvava Bodhika Yuktistu Kevalanaiva Yadasya Pratishita. He says. So, because it's Shraddha is a form of taste only. But it is not the stage of Ruchi. It's not the stage of Ruchi, but it is a type of Ruchi only. Like that. And similarly, Ruchi is also a stage of enhanced Shraddha only. Because that Shraddha, what does that Ruchi do? It steadies the Shraddha, increases the Shraddha.
Even Prema is a stage of Shraddha.
Shraddha only.
Even higher, even the Raghav Pandit it is mentioned, when he used to offer the Shasya, he is already Premi Bhakta. It says that when he sees that Lord Krishna is eating his all
Nariyal,
Shraddha body itself.
Pure Vaishnavas labeled as Sahaji as those neophytes who want to purchase a spiritual commodity without appropriate payment. The other side of Niyamagraha is to neglect the practices for which one is fit. So this is the Sahajiya part, where they are aspiring for something for which they are not fit. The other side is neglecting to perform certain activities for which they are actually fit. Thinking that, oh, this is too high, you know, I am not qualified to practice pure devotional service. Why? I am severely conditioned. Like that. This is due to improper sambandha jnana. While they may have the qualification, but they are made to believe that, no, you are not yet qualified. Fit devotees inclined towards hearing about Krishna's pastimes with the gopis in Vraja, for example, should not avoid doing so. And this is a zone which we do not publicly discuss. But it's a fact. Because Acharyas did write these books, which means it was meant for someone. Whatever may be the qualification, at some level, people would become qualified to read these books. We may not publicly discuss these things, but this is a mature assembly. We are not even going to discuss these things in this assembly. But the point is, at least we can discuss that.
Who can discuss?
Who can discuss that? At least some level someone can discuss. As Srila Prabhupada says, it does not mean that we shall not utter even the name of the gopis. We have taken a vow to boycott the gopis. No, they are our worshipable devotees. How can we avoid them? This is Prabhupada speaking to the BTG staff, and someone said they were adapting something from the Krishna book, and there was something, a mention of some gopis there. He said, Prabhupada, should we leave that out? So Prabhupada said, why? You know, are we, is our mission to boycott the gopis?
Going into so much of shell that you don't see the light also.
Correct. If out of fear of ever new spiritual challenges, steady devotees fit for the next stage of devotion do not upgrade their spiritual practices, they stop advancing. The process of purification suspended by their hesitation to advance, they easily become complacent. Such complacency later makes the devotees vulnerable to material attraction. Which means, if they need a higher nourishment under guidance, if they don't take it, then there is a downside is that they may fall trapped to some lower attraction.
This is something like when a person starts eating, like, you know, so he's 5 year old, one chapati is sufficient for him. And that's good, he shouldn't eat more, like, you know, and that will give him nourishment. But he becomes 18 year old and if he still sticks to one chapati, that will malnourish.
He may seek nourishment elsewhere.
Yeah, and he will see that he should more, actually eat more chapati.
Correct. Such complacency later makes the devotees vulnerable to material attraction. Then, like the impulsive neophytes, they are prone to fall. From these guidelines, it is clear that spiritual practices, including the subject matter devotees here, vary according to the quality of faith. Pure faith, Shraddha, steadiness, Nishtha, taste, ruchi, attachment, asakti are the four stages of devotional service in practice. Ecstasy and love are the stages of perfection, bhava and prema. Each stage has its unique practices, characteristics and associated duties, and devotees attain each stage by developing a specific level of faith. For instance, devotees well situated in nishtha inevitably aspire after the practices of ruchi. So it is natural. They should make their transition to that higher level carefully, like caterpillars moving from one leaf to the another. As the Brahmana, Avadhut Brahmana learnt, one of the 24 gurus is the caterpillar. He learnt that it would move, it would get properly situated in one leaf, then move to the next leaf, like that.
Different context.
That is, they should remain fixed in the activities of steadiness while they become well conversant with the characteristics of ruchi. When real faith in the characteristics of the higher stage develops, they may begin to cultivate the disciplines of ruchi for which they have a specific attraction, like that. As they gain strength from their cultivation, they may gradually adjust their basic practices, increasing some and decreasing some. Like that. Like you need to use both the accelerator and the brake. But when you go from one gear to another gear, you may start reducing the usage of brake and your usage of accelerator may be more. Even though both have a utility in every stage, but the utility of one may keep decreasing and the utility of another may keep increasing. In this way, steady devotees rise to new levels of Krishna consciousness, cultivating the spiritual frontiers revealed through the medium of taste. Progressive devotees move from one stage to another, beginning with the stage of faith, Shraddha, by the same process. What are practical examples of such careful transitions? In Nishtha, devotees may chant 16 rounds daily and happily meditate on Krishna's form. As this practice becomes regular and blissful, the desire may arise to hear more about Krishna's qualities. As they say, Shraddha is the qualification to take the name, whereas Nishtha is the qualification for Rupa, Ruchi for Guna and Asakti for Leela. So naturally that desire appears when one has steadily meditated, chanted the holy name, meditated on the form. When he comes to the stage of Ruchi, he naturally develops a desire to hear about the qualities of Krishna. Such devotees may then read songs and prayers that glorify Krishna's qualities, remembering them as they chant Japa and Kirtan. Have you noticed, even though acharyas have written many kinds of bhajans, certain kinds of bhajans we cannot relate to actually. मतलब उतना स्फूर्ति नहीं मिलता है हम गा लेते हैं मतलब इधर इट हैज अ गुड ट्यून और समथिंग लाइक दैट वी मे सिंग बट प्रैक्टिकली इट मे बी डिफिकल्ट फॉर अस टू रिलेट टू दीस सेंटिमेंट्स और श्याम गोरी अंगे दीपो चंदन कभी yes. We may sing, we may appreciate, but mostly, you know, we may not identify with those aspirations. It may not, you know what, it may not sync with our aspirations. They may experiment for some time with this newfound commitment. These new practices, symptoms of the stage of ruchi may become so relishable that devotees desire to increase the number of rounds they chant to 32. They may experiment for some time with this newfound commitment.
Wow.
Without disturbing their long-standing services. Without giving up their long-standing services, they may decrease their, you know, not so productive time and use it in chanting extra. They may decrease their sleep little bit and chant little extra like that. However, when comfortable with their new practices, 32, abhi 16, 32 ho gaya, steady ho gaya. Devotees may under superior guidance make adjustments to their normal services in order to facilitate their chanting additional rounds. Then they may ask the authorities, Guruji, please, I need some extra time for it. And then, if they are fortunate enough to have... you know, understanding authorities, then that may be facilitated. Actually, yeah. They may also make vows to continue their extra hearing and chanting. In this way, as devotees elevate themselves from one stage of devotion to the next, they gradually make adjustments in both their practices and their duties. So, this is based on Nectar of Instruction purport. And lecture on Srimad Bhagavatam given by Prabhupada. This understanding. Properly done and supervised, this process is self-regulatory and therefore relishable because devotees hear only topics for which they are fit. If appropriately they follow hearing about topics for which they are fit, then gradually this becomes a very relishable thing. Since the topics themselves direct the techniques of the devotees chanting, अनिश्चित भजन क्रिया में कौन सा टेक्निक्स में आपको ध्यान देना चाहिए अकॉर्डिंग टू भक्तिविनोद ठाकुर अनिश्चित भजन क्रिया में एक ही टेक्निक है वो ऑफेंसेस को अवॉइड करो दैट इज अ मेजर थ्रस्ट इज देयर अंडरस्टैंड द ऑफेंसेस एंड अवॉइड द ऑफेंसेस सो एट द स्टेज ऑफ अनिश्चित भजन क्रिया दैट इज द एम्फेसिस बट व्हेन वन हैज कम टू निष्ठा दे नीड नॉट कीप ऑन हियरिंग अबाउट ऑफेंसेस Because they have successfully transcended that stage. Because one can reach Nishtha only if one is actually chanting non-offensive holy names. So at the stage of Nishtha, they need not hear about offenses so much. They can hear about the glories of the positive glories of the holy names. And that will cause inspiration. That will give them solid spurti. Since the topics themselves direct the techniques of the devotees chanting, the subjects of their remembrance and the mood of their worship, devotees who truly follow the process do not succumb to practices beyond their abilities. So guided approach hai agar, to unko wo stage mein jis jo cheez se spurti milta hai, wohi sunenge. उसे एक्चुअल स्फूर्ति मिलेगा फिर देन दे विल बिकम क्वालिफाइड टू गो टू द नेक्स्ट स्टेज लाइक एट द स्टेज ऑफ निष्ठा नेचुरली दे विल गेट द स्फूर्ति टू मेडिटेट ऑन द फॉर्म अलॉन्ग विद द नेम जब वो निष्ठा से रुचि पहुंचते पहुंचते नेचुरल डिजायर విల్ అవేకన్ టు హియర్ అబౌట్ ద క్వాలిటీస్. రుచి ఇస్తే, ఆసక్తి పోంచితే న్యాచురల్ డిజైర్ విల్ అవేకన్ టు హియర్ అబౌట్ ద లీల అండ్ దట్ విల్ గివ్ స్ఫూర్తి ఇన్ దేర్ చాంటింగ్ లైక్ దట్. వెన్ దే ఆర్ ఫిక్స్డ్ ఇన్ హియరింగ్ దీస్ న్యూ టాపిక్స్ దే మే హియర్ ఈవన్ న్యూయర్ టాపిక్స్ అండ్ వెన్ దేర్ ఫెయిత్ రైపన్స్ ఫర్దర్ దే మే టేక్ అనదర్ స్టెప్ ఆన్ ద స్టార్ కేస్ టు గోలోక. ఇన్ దిస్ వే డివోటీస్ బ్లిస్ఫుల్లీ మేక్ స్టడీ ప్రోగ్రెస్ ఇన్ గోయింగ్ బ్యాక్ హోమ్ బ్యాక్ టు గాడ్. ఇట్ షుడ్ బి నోటెడ్ దట్ స్పిరిచువల్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఈస్ జస్ట్ యాజ్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఇన్ హియరింగ్ ఫిలాసఫీ అండ్ అదర్ స్క్రిప్చురల్ టీచింగ్స్ యాజ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ హియరింగ్ కృష్ణాస్ లీల. స్పిరిచువల్ క్వాలిఫికేషన్ ఈస్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఇన్ హియరింగ్ ఫిలాసఫీ ఆల్సో, నాట్ జస్ట్ కృష్ణ లీల. Proper understanding of the truths of Krishna consciousness requires knowledge and faith. Otherwise, misunderstandings will cause devotees to argue their own opinions ad nauseam. Ad nauseam means?
Ad nauseam.
Just to irritate others or like nauseating others. Check karo na. Ad nauseam kya? A-D?
Maybe. Mujhe bhi aise laga.
Add AD space and annoying. N-A-U-S-E-A-M. Add space. Okay. For instance, when the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam came out, some devotees tried to visualize Shukadev Goswami's description of the universe, but they could not make sense of the distances and geometries mentioned in the text. Their understanding of cosmology required more than knowledge of geometry and astronomy. It required spiritual qualification.
Used to refer to the fact that something has been done or repeated so often that it has become annoying or tiresome.
Annoying. In the absence of such qualification, devotees had to accept what they were reading on faith. That's what he says. Their understanding of cosmology required more than knowledge of geometry and astronomy. It required spiritual qualification. In the absence of such spiritual qualification, devotees had to accept what they were reading on faith. In the years and decades that followed, as a result of Srila Prabhupada's guidance and their own spiritual growth, a number of devotees were better able to understand the Bhagavatam's mysterious depiction of the universe and explain it to others. Another example of devotees' inability to understand Siddhanta without appropriate qualification is the controversial origin of the Jiva issue. Wow, Maharaj is taking a bull by its horns. Let's see what he's going to write. Based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions as well as on the writings of the previous Acharyas, some devotees argue about whether conditioned souls originally came from Vaikuntha, the Brahma Jyoti, or the body of Mahasankarshan. Like the depiction of the universe, only persons with realized knowledge and deep faith in Krishna's inconceivable potencies can answer this question. Devotees who lack such qualifications may continue to argue their insufficient realizations, but they succeed in doing little else than stirring needless debate in the society. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada's concluding words in response to the direct question regarding the origin of Jiva were, "Now don't waste your time." This is exactly what Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says.
All Acharyas, they say, even one time Prabhupada was asked same question. Prabhupada said, "Why don't you go there and find out?"
Prabhupada said, "Go back and find out."
Go back and find out.
And interestingly, Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells exactly the same thing. In his Bhaktyaloka essay on Nishchaya. In that, of course, various places, there in a more clear way he writes that Nishchaya means to proceed with confidence in the practice of bhakti. He said one can proceed with confidence only when one is free of doubts. So one has to clear those doubts in order to free the easy passage while progressing. So he says that one of the things, one of the reasons why doubt might come is, he says, when we try to understand, Why did the pure jiva desire to enjoy separately from Krishna? He says that this subject matter can be understood only when one has the experience of spiritual time, which is possible only after one reaches the stage of prema. And he says that this subject matter one has to wait to understand till one becomes self-realized. So he says that those subject matters for which self-realization is a prerequisite, one should resolve it by telling oneself that when I become self-realized,
I will understand. This is exactly what Prabhupada told. Yudhrani Mataji was drawing Samudra Manthan and she read that Lakshmi came out of the ocean. So then she says, Prabhupada, this is far out. How could Mother Lakshmi came out of ocean, churning of ocean? So Prabhupada said, well, you can think it like this, that I don't understand this right now, but as I become more advanced, one day I will understand. And now you
paint.
This was very instructive. Yeah. Also, I just came across the same thing when I went to Chopardi. Somebody was asking the same question. So, origin of jivas, like, you know. So I just came up with one analogy. Just like somebody enters, like we are sitting in a temple, and somebody comes and reminds us, Prabhu, you are sitting with your back towards deities. So what do? We immediately correct ourselves. We turn towards the deities. We don't ask question, oh, was I always with my back towards deities? Or was I facing Lord before and now I am with my back towards deities? Whatever it is, just turn around. That is how we can answer this.
Right? Of course. This is one aspect of it which may not completely satisfy them.
Yeah, we were not completely satisfied.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah, discouragement is there. But that's what Prabhupada said, you go back and find out. And that's exactly what the acharyas are consistent in their presentation. Where Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says
something
that certain things can be understood only with self-realization. So to understand that, you know, with self-realization I will understand and leave that matter there. It will not dent one's determined progress in devotional service. It will not plague them with doubts like that, he says.
Correct. Maharaj said once about it, if everything you want to try to understand through your intelligence, there is a question of faith. Faith plays a very important dimension in surrendering to Krishna or developing love for Krishna. Like, you know, we hear about ocean of mango juice. You can't understand through you.
It's actually, yeah, they are not, yeah, it's not faith or intelligence. It's actually faith that shapes intelligence.
Faith plays a...
It starts with faith, and then that faith shapes that intelligence.
Fine, okay.
Like, for example, now certain things, Abhi, as devotees, we read, and if you see Prabhupada's purports or what Prabhupada says in his books, we have an implicit acceptance of it. So our intelligence has processed and our intelligence has sort of reconciled with this source of knowledge. So now the intelligence does not question, hey, how is it possible? They say, oh, this is a bona fide source of knowledge. So the intelligence tries to, you know, recreate the logic according to the source of information in which it has developed faith.
Should, but one of them left when Prabhupada was shown on the TV that man landed on the moon.
Correct.
He was massaging
Prabhupada. Yeah.
Prabhupada said they never thought.
Yeah.
He said, but it is shown on the TV.
Correct. So which means,
so now he was massaging Prabhupada at this point, he was in accepting this.
He was probably in the process.
Maybe, yeah.
Internally, what was happening with not known.
Yeah. So Prabhupada asked, he said, why? I have not seen that.
Scriptures say.
Yeah. He said, why should see this?
said that. It's not me who's saying it.
Correct.
In fact, what you said, na, has triggered one more thing. Intelligence could be used to have proper faith. Because it's like Prabhupada is talking about mundane intelligence and depending on mundane intelligence. And what you are saying is trained intelligence in terms of what is okay, despite these things, this has to be true. So intelligence trained to think despite the
role of intelligence is logic.
Yeah.
Generating some logic to make sense.
Yeah.
So, but the logic is shaped based on
experience.
Pratyaksha, experience. But experience seen through the glasses of faith. Because you can see and interpret experiences in various ways. Yeah. So when one has accepted a particular paradigm, when one has accepted a particular source of knowledge as being bona fide, then one can draw intelligence out of it. Or understanding out of it. So it starts with faith. So,
this just like this. I'll give you just one example. Just to capture this, there Rupa Goswami here, he says that there is no yukti required for this. So then Jiva Goswami clarifies in that
Shastra.
This doesn't negate Shastra yukti. He says that intelligence which goes with the Shastra.
Correct.
Is required actually.
Correct.
But intelligence which independently tries to prove itself, although it knows its own shortcomings, Brahma, Brahma, Vipralipsa.
Correct.
So that kind of intelligence may be this thing. But
see, even if you see in that kind of intelligence also, there is the their argument is based on pratyaksha, not just pratyaksha. The ability to interpret that pratyaksha based on a particular faith in a particular
thing.
Source of knowledge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Trigonometry or you know whatever.
Correct.
So that becomes a...
Yeah, the intelligence is tainted with that kind of faith.
Correct.
Right, that's
what I'm saying. Yeah. So therefore, whenever Shastras say, fools cannot understand, it's not literally talking about intelligence. Because if you actually trace out, like for example, avajananti maam muda manushim tanu ashrita. So now, the word muda is used, which means less intelligent or foolish. But actually, if you trace it down, why is he not accepting Krishna, Krishna's form? Is it just intelligence? It's because actually he does not have, in one sense, Shraddha.
Shraddha.
And Shraddha is created due to Agyat Sukriti, you know, favorable experiences. So interestingly, if you read Baldadya Bhushan and Vishnu Chakravarti's translation of that, or explanation of that word, Shabdarth of Muda, they say unfortunate, rather than unintelligent. Even though unintelligent, is correct, but if you trace out the root, the cause of unintelligence is no faith in that system of knowledge. Because to gain intelligence from a particular system of knowledge requires first trust in that system of knowledge. That is, because source of information is there in this book, but I can draw out knowledge from this book. Let's say general knowledge. I have to prepare for some IAS exam or something. I have to read general knowledge. So here is the general knowledge book. But first I have to trust that this book has the most updated knowledge and bona fide knowledge. When I have that trust, then I will try to draw upon from that book knowledge. But if the trust is not there, then it will not transform into intelligence.
And sometimes the Mayavadi people are very intelligent, analyzing scriptures, and but they don't have faith. Intelligence is there. Faith is not there, so they are not able to accept.
Maya Aparatadya.
Maya Aparatadya. Yeah.
An example is quite simple but very relevant. That cobbler who was. He's such a logical answer he gives. If Lord can put the whole tree within this seed,
yeah,
why can't he?
This is exact.
Pass elephant through the middle of that. And that person was so well read in scriptures. But he said, no, I don't believe you are God, Vaikuntha, you are lying. Just because he heard that the Lord was.
This faith in inconceivable power of Lord.
Huh?
Faith in the inconceivable power of the Lord. So that's why intelligence cannot stand without faith. Actually, faith is the foundation of intelligence.
True.
So generally we may say believe it based on faith. The person would be willing to do it only if he has that level of faith.
But at what point one should put hold on intelligence and just accept? Because at least for outsiders, we know that initially we have to give intellectual presentation. You can't just say, believe.
You can't actually.
For us also, when we should put hold to the intelligence and now just accept. Because we also need that intellectual sometimes.
Correct. Na? So that is why here it is mentioned that, this is a subject matter. Which can be this, I felt very, I got little more clarity in this, this is a subject matter which can be understood only if you have an experience of spiritual time, and spiritual time can be experienced only at the level of prema. So you will have to wait till the level of prema to actually, because if it has to fit your logic, you need to experience it, and experience comes only with progress. You can experience it only at the level of prema. So I need to wait. Oh yeah, okay. That makes sense. Like that.
Just one adding to this. Where there is one question answer between Krishna and Gopis. Gopis ask Krishna, what is greatest intelligence? So what does Krishna reply? Pure heart is the greatest intelligence. So there is no, because there is no.
That's exactly what he tells Uddhava. In the 11th canto, when Krishna is wound up his pastimes, he is planning to leave. He says, Uddhava, you stay back. Uddhava says, yeah, but who will guide me? You know, till now I have been taking guidance from you. Who will guide me? He says, come on. He says, you can trust your intelligence as your guru. He says, self-realized persons can accept their intelligence as their guru. You don't need an external guru. Not that they feel that they don't need a guru, but he says you can trust your intelligence as your guru, because any pratyaksha that comes out of that you see and you evaluate it with a particular anuman, that anuman is as good as shabda, because your heart is pure. And in that context, he actually explains the 24 gurus of the Avadhut Brahma. He says, I will tell you the example of a self-realized person who accepted all these various things. So he said that for such a person, pratyaksha anumanabhyam, their pratyaksha and anuman is as good as shabda.
You see, like sometimes devotees go to him and ask, Maharaj, what should I do? This is, if I do this, because this, if I do this, I'm not. He says, follow your heart. So now, because you're really confused, and you really sincerely want to know what should I do. If I go here, it's not that he's giving you a very clear answer.
Maybe
following your heart is here.
You cannot be always safe.
You need not be always safe, but as you said, the heart,
but if it is pure,
heart is pure.
Maybe
you are sincere.
Sincere, at least sincere.
Pure. We can't say that I am pure.
At least sincere.
And maybe Maharaj knew that if I say something, you may not fall. So,
positive. But But maybe sometimes the question itself is so simple, what you're asking, you know, just encouraging.
Encouraging, yeah.
Either way you do this or this, I'm still okay with that.
Correct, correct.
I'm not feeling that.
Both choices are acceptable.
Yeah, you do this, I have no problem, you do this. I was just thinking about, you know, when you said about spiritual qualification. See, when I'm hearing all these things, I'm thinking about Maharaj. I think it's Maharaj's life, like, have you seen, like, you know, he's talking about, of course, he's hearing, we don't know, but we know only what he speaks, because that is only available to us. But then when he said spiritual qualification, like this, like yesterday's class, it was on Sankhya Yoga, some class, that it was come, subject or something, I don't know what to understand, you know, about the material elements and all. But see, he made it so relevant. By speaking about the false ego and how false ego is the cause of all suffering. False ego is the cause of all wrong decisions you take, how it binds you. It makes that spiritual qualification. Yeah. How to unearth that type of a thing from a... So the purport was talking about the material elements. Okay, this is that. What did you speak? Sorry,
same thing. So, in that same section in 11th canto, where he is talking about this Avadhut Brahmana, where he is seeing a vulture or he is seeing a
ocean.
Ground or ocean, and he is similar. If you see in Maharaj's journey home also,
Many such things. Falcon catching
a fish, the underwater skirmishes.
You have not met Prabhupada.
So now the question is, we have been observing these things since time immemorial. We never come up with such
intuitions,
lessons. So therefore, it is not recommended that everyone utilize their intelligence as their guru. What does he say, Krishna? Loka tattva vichakshana. Is one who is self-realized, they can trust their intelligence to be their guru. Otherwise, if you see, many of these, abhi Maharaj ne jo bhi dekha, aap animal planet ya discovery channel dalenge to aadha ghanta mein sab kuch दिखा देंगे वो तो कितना साल से लोग देख रहे हैं. दे कैन नेवर कम अप विद सच काइंड ऑफ लेसन विच इज इन लाइन विद द टीचिंग्स ऑफ द शास्त्रस. दैट इज द मीनिंग फॉर अस. आवर प्रत्यक्ष एंड अनुमान इज ऑन द लेवल ऑफ बॉडी बिकॉज दैट्स हाउ दैट्स व्हाट वी हैव एक्सपीरियंस्ड. बट फॉर अ सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड सोल, any pratyaksha he sees is anuman is on the level of his realization, whatever he has experienced. And he has experienced, his experience is on the level of soul or on the level of a pure devotee. So his anuman is as good as, you know, not just shabda, but the topmost shabda, even amongst shabda, you know, the bhakti shastras.
Even what they feel like, it becomes true. You know, I'll just very nice instance where Nanda Maharaj is coming home after meeting Vasudev, and he says that Nanda Pati Vacha Shore Na Murshayati Chintayan. Hey, Vasudev just told me that there could be dangers in Vraja. So he says that Vasudev is a sage, like, you know, it cannot be wrong, he said. And then there Vallabhacharya comments, Satam Hrudayam Pramanam.
He says
whatever Satam means, self-realized, or you can say Nitya Siddha or whatever, elevated. So whatever they think in their heart, Hrudayam, that becomes Pramanam. Satam Hrudayam Pramanam. So they thought like that, right? It must come to be true. Like, there could be some upadas. And sure enough, there was Bhutana. So their pratyaksha anuman and even their whatever they think.
Intuition
also becomes truth. Like shabda into the shabda.
Shabda. Jai. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Madhav. We just wish you were there every day.
I wish that, actually. Today another fresh air.
Fresh air. Please come every day.
Oh, I wish. And definitely. As much
we
as
will arrange for a palanquin for you.
I'm happy to be blessed with this.
We will get PhD in first names.
जय हो श्रील प्रभुपाद की, श्रील शिवराम स्वामी महाराज की, शुद्ध भक्ति।